FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome to 94.1 FM 3WBC. We're back again for another episode of VFL Rewind. Really pumped for this one. Really up and about. Looking forward to it. And as per usual, I'm joined in the studio by Peter Lausch. Lausche, welcome to VFL Rewind.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very good show tonight. Talking about Tasmania and obviously also covering all the VFL and VFLW games from last weekend. And there were some rippers and there were some blowouts.
There was some big blowouts, that's for sure. A few of the games went the way we didn't expect them to, that's for sure. I did mention off the top, Tasmanian special tonight. So we've got four special guests and they're rippers actually. Really looking forward to it. We've got one who's an absolute cult figure down in Tassie. He's a very passionate man. He's very passionate about Tassie footy in the Bev, from the Bev show. So I got him on. Looking forward to chatting to Bev first up. I've also got from Relive the Rivalry, which is a big game down in Tassie we want to talk about a little bit later on. It's the simplest way to put it for Melbourne listeners. It's a bit like the EJ Witten Legends game is probably the best way to explain it. The game's played between former greats of Tasmanian football, Victorian football, and some of the proceeds, and that we'll talk to James Wiggins about a little bit later on, goes to a charity as well. So it's a little bit like an old EJ Witten Legends game. So we look forward to talking a bit of that to James Wiggins.
We'll also have a chat to James to see if we can get Mark Stone to don the Tasmanian jumper and you to put on the All-Stars Victorian jumper, you know, and you line up straight onto Stoney, and maybe I can play a role in it as well. We are going down to the game, so... James, our services are up to play or coach or whatever.
Imagine that, Lash. Imagine if we were able to pull on the old famous Tassie or All-Star jump. It'd be a pleasure. We'll chat to James a little bit later on about that. What he does, we'll chat to him about what he does. It's a very well-supported game down there. It gets a lot of traction with media and a lot of people turn up. That's at North Hobart this year, which is the home of footy down there.
Yeah, it's great ground. Love that old ground.
And we've also got Zane Littlejohn on, the senior coach of the Box Hill Hawks Football Club in the VFL. But he also had a career before that down in Tasmania. He was coach of the North Launceston Football Club in the TSL. Yep. He also played for the Tassie Devils in the VFL, as it was known back then. And for our legend, we've got a man who played for Tasmanian Devils and had a very good career at VFL level in Trent Barlett. Look forward to chat to him. Very good player he was. I remember him playing through the mid-2000s. It was always good to watch. He used to be able to take a few good marks too. So
yeah, he was a good footballer at the Brisbane Bears, Brisbane Lions, and the Western Bulldogs as well. So it'd be good to have a chat there. And I think he was in charge of... AFL Tasmania for a while as well.
Oh, really? Oh, so yeah. I did not know that, Lausche. So he's going to have good insight. So we've got
Worked for him. He may have actually been in charge of him.
Yeah. So for anyone who's just joined in, tonight is a bit of a celebration of Tasmanian football. As we know, a few weeks ago it was announced that Tasmania are going to have an AFL team, and it was also announced in 2025 they're going to have a VFL team. So we're about 500 days from a Tasmanian team taking the field in the VFL, which is absolutely amazing. So we're going to try and promote the hell out of it. Get all the supporters down there to get behind their team like they did in the mid-2000s when the place was buzzing. We're going to get stuck in the scores now, though, from the week on in the VFL. If you want to kick us off, we'll get stuck straight in.
Yeah, the first game was up in Brisbane, and unfortunately for the Coburg Lions, it was a massive defeat. Brisbane Lions just keep on keeping on. 24-11, 155 to Coburg, 6-2-38. The next game was just down the road from where we are right now, the Box Hill City Oval, and the Box Hill Hawks, 11-18-84, defeated Southport by 39 points, 6-9-45. Werribee, this game at Avalon Airport, Werribee came back from about 7 goals down to win by 2 points against the Gold Coast Suns, 14-7-91 to the Gold Coast Suns, 13-11-89. The KC Demons and North Melbourne played a really good game out at KC Fields later on that afternoon.
Thriller. It was a thriller, really. Yeah, look at the score.
15 points KC's way. 18-9, 117 to 16-6, 102. I'll let you take over the next lot of games, mate.
So it was a bit of a celebration up at Preston City Oval, or Genesis Steel Oval, on Saturday. The 1983 Premiership reunion for the boys who played.
Ray Shaw's
team.
Peter Wakeman, I think, was
their
coach.
Yeah, that a very good era. Back-to-back? Yeah, I think it might have been 84. They won seniors, reserves and under-19. So they've definitely had a great run there through the years, Preston. And they celebrated it with the Premiership Cup. Good to see Coburg alone in the Premiership Cup too. I thought that was a really nice touch for anyone who doesn't know. It was a perpetual cup back in the day, and it went from 1967 to 1989, the same cup. So anyone who does have a premiership reunion, Coburg always good enough to let clubs loan it. So Frankston got the win, though, 10-11-71 to Northern Bullants, 8-6-54. A great win to Frankston. They're slowly getting back a bit of form.
Three wins so far, so well done.
Yeah, well done. So next one up was Essendon versus Richmond. Richmond got the win, 12-12-84 to Essendon, 12-10-82. Some very close games this week in the VFL. The next up was on the Saturday night at ETU Stadium, Port Melbourne 18-10-118 to Sydney 8-7-55. So well done to the Borough on getting a good win. Williamstown Football Club are a contender. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it, Lowshy. They defeated Richmond 80-60.
Carlton.
Very good win to Williamstown Football Club.
That was a good Carlton side in as well.
It was. And I think that Williamstown going to bank a lot more wins in the second half of this season. Yeah. They are a very good side. Early doors, I think people thought they'd recruited maybe a few players who were a bit too old and weren't going to be that good, but they've recruited really well. Their players have been injury-free, touch wood for them, and they're sitting inside the eight, so they're looking really good. Andrews and Plappy down there at Williamstown are doing a really good job.
What's the old man of football up to, 298 now?
I think 297 or 298. We'll have to put out the word and see if he wants to come on. Well, why don't we get him to come on, Lashie? He's 300. He's 300 a second. He's going to have four games out of three games out of four games that are going to be milestones in some way. So it's pretty awesome.
We sponsor him, so we'll get him on all three.
He's a good man, Ben Jolly, and we can't wait to see him run through the banner. Got to get a banner. Shout out to Williamstown Football Club.
Get a big banner, mate.
Massive. I want to see the biggest banner at VFL level. Get a monster banner because he deserves it. Get a big one, even for his, I reckon, the record. You know what I'd like to see? This is what I'd like to see, Lowshy. When he breaks Billy Swan's record, I want to see Billy Swan
on the other side of the banner
before the race, shake his hand, say, well done, mate, and then let him run through a banner with, games record holder, break,
I think Billy will be there. Billy's that type of guy who will be there. He's part of the past players. So I guarantee Terry Wheeler, even though he doesn't run the show anymore, will get a lot of the old folk out for Ben Jolly's
Bear Monster game.
Equaling Billy Swan's and then breaking Billy Swan's record.
The breaking will be the big one. Yeah. The one where it's broken will be the celebration. Yeah. I reckon, and the 300th, we're going to have to celebrate that because, not only third bloke to play 300 games at VFL level in 150 years, so it's pretty phenomenal.
Fantastic.
And then the last one we had was GWS versus Sandy. GWS 87 defeated Sandy 60.
Mm-hmm.
So and just moving quickly to the ladder, we're starting to see some movers and shakers now, Lowshy. We're starting to see Brisbane undefeated. Brisbane would have been West Coast on the weekend, the AFL, Lowshy.
Yeah.
That midfield they've got is top-notch.
Yeah.
They've got Gold Coast who just had their first loss, and as we mentioned, we've said it since pre-season that Werribee were going to be a team to beat. They're starting to hit their straps now.
Yep.
Casey have fallen off the radar a little bit. They're still winning games, but they're not doing it with the authority they did last year. Box Hill's a smoky sitting in third. Williamstown up there as well in fifth. GWS have done really well in sixth.
Round 11 is going to be a really big one for both clubs. Southport versus Casey at Southport.
Yeah, it's going to be a big
That could make or break Southport's year. We love Southport. They're great people, great club and all that. But 4 and 5 right now, they're probably under par where they should be.
Yeah, definitely. Southport, their top 6-7 players are really good.
Yep.
Their 7-15 are really good. But with their injuries that they've had, their depth, player 15-22, it's not what it was last year. And I think that's what's really letting them down looking at the way they played on Saturday is that their back end is probably the thing that's letting them down. So it's interesting. It's very interesting, Southport. I think if Southport can make the eight, they're going to cause some carnage.
Oh,
absolute carnage. Especially, imagine if they finish fifth.
Yeah.
And they win week one in Melbourne, and then they have to play a Brisbane team week two. They have to play Gold Coast or Brisbane, and Brisbane rests some players.
Yeah.
They could be a big, you know, yeah, they could knock out a few teams. Yeah. So I would not ride off Southport yet.
Before we go on a break, can I just thank my favourite VFL coach, Steve Daniel, for the heritage jumper he brought down from the Gold Coast for me. So thanks, Steve, and thank you to the Southport Sharks as well for supplying that.
He's a very good man, Steve Daniel. Always got some time for Steve. We're going to go to a break now. I'm going to be back with the Bev show, from chat a little bit of Tassie footy, chat out what this team means to him, chat a little bit of VFL as well. So we'll be back after the break. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Oi!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor. Piranha Snack Foods are an Australian-owned snack food manufacturer who produce great quality snacks including cashew mix, soy crisps, piranha popcorn, and everyone's favourite salt and vinegar potato grills. Piranha Snack Foods can be found at Coles supermarkets or your local IGA. Check out the full range of products at piranhacorp.com.au. Piranha Snack Foods are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC. We're the point of our first special guest for our Tasmanian special tonight. And really pumped for this. When we decided we were going to have a Tassie special, actually, there was one man who I wanted to get on. He's a Ripper Dipper legend. He's an absolute passionate man. He's going to be, I reckon, up there as one of the most famous Tassie supporters when they enter the VFL. And he joins on the line now, Bev. Bev from the Bev Show. Bev, welcome to VFL Rewind. It's a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Really excited to talk all things Tassie AFL team.
Now, g'day, Bev. Lausche speaking. Like yourself, mate, a Western Bulldog supporter. What are you going to do when Tassie gets the AFL siding? Are the Bulldogs still going to be your number one side, or are you going to defect to Tassie?
It's a big question I get these days. Probably the most asked question I get. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I really love the Doggies, and you know, I'll be supporting them probably for the rest of my life. But I do want to get behind the Tassie team. So how that looks, I don't know. But I think I'll be supporting both teams at least.
Now, Bev, as we know, the Tasmanian team was announced. A lot of great positive publicity, but in the last week it's turned a little bit. I don't know if you've noticed it down there in Tassie, but this politics, mate, it must be doing your head in that, you know, it's starting to, I guess, rear its head, because we thought it was all signed, sealed and delivered, and yeah, the last probably half week, it's sort of people have started to have a lot to say.
Yeah, it's disappointing. There's always, you know, I guess people that, I guess, are for and against things in life, and this is no different really, and this has been something that, you know, we've been pushing for down here, or footy fans anyway, for a while, to get a Tassie AFL team down here. So when the announcement came through a couple of weeks ago, it was a real joyful moment, I felt. But, the last week or two has been disappointing. But I think there is a bigger picture to all of this. I think the team and the stadium does have the potential to have a lot more positives than negatives. And I think that's what people really need to look at here. They need to have a big mind, see the bigger picture instead of being, you know, narrow-minded, and really see that, you know, this, I guess the stadium is going to have a real big economic impact for the state, which can then contribute to things such as health and hospitals and things like that.
Do you reckon it's a north-south battle in Tasmania? Because we know of this, on the mainland, we find it ridiculous that there's that sort of mentality, north and south Tasmania and all that. But do you think it's something that's been brewed up in the north, or is it just politics in Parliament House down in Hobart that's caused this kerfuffle?
Yeah, well, I feel like it's mainly politics. I think the north and south rivalry, personally, I'd like to think it's probably more on the back burner than anything. I'd like to think anyway. It's probably a couple of decades old, the north south rivalry. I'd like to think we're past that now here in the state. I think politics is definitely playing a role. You know, ever since the stadium got the tick of approval, I feel like there's been a lot more, I guess, MPs that have come out. Obviously, we had the two MPs, you know, a week ago from the Liberal Party. They became independents, which made the government minority and all of that. So, yeah, I feel like there's a lot it's a lot more politics than anything that's, I guess, interrupting this, what should be a joyful moment for Tasmanian football.
Now, it was a special day when Gillon McLachlan got out there on North Hobart Oval a few weeks ago and announced it. And I think people like me and probably yourself were a little bit, you know, waiting for what was going to actually happen. And one thing that I think pleased especially me and Lauchie here in Melbourne is that the Tasmanian VFL team is going to be 2025, which is, about 500 days away. How's the response been down there for that? And do you think that it's going to be pretty exciting, I guess, to have probably, what, 2 or 3 years of just a VFL team for the state to get behind before the AFL team does join the VFL?
Yeah, I think it's going to be amazing. I still remember as a kid going to the Tasmania Devils VFL team a couple of decades ago when they existed. Dad took me to a couple of their games and at Bell Reeve, and it was fantastic when we used to have a VFL team down here. So to get a VFL team back in a couple of years is going to be fantastic, and I think it's going to be... I think it's really exciting, not just for fans, but also those that are involved in footy, especially at a higher level here. It's going to open the doors and pathways for those that, you know, want to play at the high level. And, I can't wait for it. I think it's a fantastic thing that we're going to see a VFL team before the big one, the AFL team.
You know, it's Tasmanian State League footy right now, recruiting-wise... Where do you think the majority of the VFL, first of all, the VFL list will come from and the AFL list? Because the State League over there, unfortunately, over the last decade or two decades, has really been running to the ground, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I'd like to think I think it's definitely the top-tier competition at the moment in the state. And, I mean, I've seen a couple of the other competitions, and I think the standard of the TFL is the highest in the... In the state, but it was announced a couple of weeks ago that the TSL won't continue after next year. So, how footy will look like from a community level below the VFL, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. I know a couple of decades ago when the TSL didn't exist and when the VFL team was a thing down here, they had the Premier League here and the SFL, but I feel like they probably need to make sure that they've got two really top-tier leagues in both the south and the north so that, obviously we're getting that talent from both ends of the state and the northwest coast as well included in that. So
bring back Sandy Bay, mate.
that was the days. I'd love to see Sandy Bay return. But I'm not sure how I'm not sure how the footy will look once the VFL team comes in. Like I said, the TSL is set to, be discontinued after next year. So I guess there's a lot to be worked out there. Maybe there could be a scenario where they pick a certain amount of players and maybe a 30-man squad or something and pick from that. I don't know. I guess I'm talking about hypotheticals now, aren't I? But it'd be interesting to see how that all works out ahead of the VFL team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Bev, because as we know, there's a lot of quality players in that. The TSL, as we know, it's been decimated probably the past probably 5-10 years with teams dropping out, but there's still some really good quality players. Final one from me, Bev. Now this team, we know that I think most people agree that the natural name that comes to mind when we think what it should be called is the Tassie Devils, and we're potentially the Tassie state jumper. That's my opinion. What's your opinion on it, Bev? What do you reckon they're going to do? And how do you reckon it's all going to play out?
Yeah, I'd love to see it be named Tasmania Devils. I keep referring to the VFL team a couple of decades ago. That was called Tasmania Devils, and that was fantastic. So I can't see why that can't be the name of the VFL and AFL team. And, I like the idea of the map. I've always loved the map on the Guernsey. So would love to see that. But, I wouldn't be shocked if they went a different way. It's not going to be, a Tasmanian team in terms of all the players are going to be all Tasmanian. So... You know, whether that affects the map being on the Guernsey, I'm not sure, but I'd still love to see it, and it's going to be a fantastic thing for the state, and hopefully there's plenty of Tasmanians that get recruited and play in the team.
I just hope you get the black and white jumpers and go prison bars just to annoy Port Adelaide and Collingwood.
Yeah, I'd love to, Eddie McGraw, I'd love to stir him up again.
Bev... You've been an absolute ripper-dipper legend and a gentleman tonight to give up some of your time to chat a bit of Tassie football. We really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to following your content in the next 12 to 18 months until this Tassie VFL team comes out. Yeah, good luck with your Dogs for now, and fingers crossed, yeah, when that Tassie team does get a bit closer, you can, I guess, make up your mind what you're going to do. But thank you very much for joining us tonight on VFL Rewind.
Thanks, Bev. Calm the Dogs.
Yeah, thanks. My pleasure. And yeah, go Dogs and go Tassie.
Thanks, Bev. Bev from the Bev Show there. Great man. I love his content. I'm really happy he's able to give up a bit of his time about how he feels about Tassie football. And we can't thank him enough for joining us.
You know, great man. And the next guest we've got, James, is going to be very good as well. So, Mr. Wiggins.
So we're going to go to a break now. I'm going to be back after the break with James Wiggins, the CEO, I think I should call it last year, of the Relive the Rivalry game down there in Tasmania. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC.
This game's had it all today, folks, at the MCG, the home of football. This is Maker. Oh, deep on the left half forward flank, punt road end. He chips it onto App. Oh, App comes to Memory, turns on his left and bang! That's it! That's it! Memory has kicked his 100th goal of the season!
Thanks, Rex. Plan your celebration with the Tobin Brothers Funerals Memory Maker app. Find out more at tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Tobin Brothers Funerals are a 3WBC.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC. We've got a Tasmanian special tonight, Lashy, as for anyone who's just joined us, and crossing all things Tasmanian football tonight. It's a really exciting show, actually. And we've got a man on who is doing great things down there in Hobart, or Tasmania, as you'd say. He's been doing it, I think, for close to 10 years. You'll probably be able to tell us a little bit more. Relive the Rivalry. It's a great game down there, great cause. Players from all over Australia come down. I know even the great Daryl White is from NT, or was from originally NT. We've got people come from all states and a lot of Tasmanian players as well. And he joins us on the line now, James Wiggins. James, welcome to VFL Rewind. It's a pleasure to have you, and thanks for joining us.
No, thank you very much for the opportunity.
G'day, James. Lowshy speaking. How are you, mate?
G'day, champion. You well?
Yeah, going well, mate. Going really well. Well, we'll have a bit of a chat about Tassie footy, and then we'll later on talk about Relive the Rivalry.
No problem.
Your thoughts on how the AFL and AFL Tasmania should go about building this side? Obviously, they've got the plan of the VFL and VFLW entry, and then the AFL and AFLW entry. But my concern with Tasmania is the same like if Victorian kids go across to Adelaide. The 18 to 25-year-olds, they'll go there for 2 or 3 years, and then they want to go home. Where is Tasmania going to get a lot of their players that are going to be sort of an instant success? Because I don't think the AFL will want 3 wins the first year, like with the Gold Coast or GWS. They'll probably want something along the lines of 6 to 8 wins.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's pretty exciting times. From my point of view, obviously, I'm pretty happy, but I'll be more excited when the time comes because we've waited 30-odd years. As your previous guests and other people would realise, obviously, Tassie's been crying out for this for a long time. When you see GWS and Gold Coast in the competition, and obviously there to smash rugby, being a heartland of football, it's been frustrating. But, I see some real positives. I think you'll find guys like Alex Pearce will be in the back end of his career, the Lockie Cowans, Sam Banks, who hasn't had an opportunity yet at Richmond. And there's some good boys coming through that will come on board initially straight away. But yeah, I've got real concerns underneath with where it's sort of structured and what they think should happen going forward.
Because our previous guest mentioned, and I didn't actually know this until he mentioned it, it'd be interesting what AFL Tasmania does at the end of next year if the TSL is to wrap up.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I think they give a lot of lip service down here. You know, at the end of the day, the clubs that have been in the TSL competition or the state league competition for a period of time now have obviously stuck by AFL Tasmania. I believe that it's been underfunded and under-resourced. The salary cap, for instance, this year is around $110,000. It makes it really hard to recruit. You know, you're not going to get any guys at the end of their careers coming home and family people. you know, like an Eli Templeton, for instance, at Port Melbourne, who's finished up, obviously, with his injury last year. But those type of guys are not coming home. And, unfortunately, the lower leagues underneath are paying better dollars. And one thing for me, frustration that you guys may not be aware of, Tasmania played Queensland in the state game at the start of July, and they've opened the opportunity for everyone statewide to play, regardless whether they're in the main competition or playing Div 3 football.
Oh, gosh.
So, there's no selling. There's no opportunity for a state league club to say, come and have a run, play some really good football early, and you might get an opportunity to play for Tasmania against Queensland. They've opened the door for everyone.
Oh, God, geez, I hope Tasmania does surprise, but that sounds like that's going to be a spanking by Queensland's just going to go out there and spank Tassie if they do that.
Yeah, well, it's really frustrating, I guess. I was fortunate enough to be involved at Glenorchy in the start of the second go at State League and recruited Jason Akermanis when he'd been sacked by the Bulldogs. Our first game, we had 8,480 paying customers and probably 11,000 people at the game, with freebies and kids and so forth. But there's been very little interest. There's not a lot of AFL experience running around. Kieran Lovell, who was on Hawthorn's list and obviously at Box Hill, mate, it's very minimal. Colin Garland's playing again at Clarence Football Club. But there hasn't been a lot of interest in the competition for a long time. It's really sad. And my point of view, with the structure and the excitement of the AFL stuff, is there should be a senior team-only state league competition that underpins the VFL team, because you guys know your football in Melbourne, and there's obviously still a gap between the Coates League and the VFL.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously, our players that aren't playing the VFL team are going to be playing regional football around Tasmania. And I don't think that's appropriate. And, I just think there needs to be senior team only with the current seven teams, and bringing a team in from the northwest coast. The Dole Park Penguin is a facility that's got a fantastic surface, and the AFL are putting some money into that facility as we speak. So that would be a very competitive team straight away, giving eight teams a chance.
You raise a very good point, James, and I agree with you 100%. If state league's going to come in, I think if this Tasmanian Devils VFL team's going to come in 2025, I think there needs to be a TSL underpinning it. Maybe not as seniors and a reserve, but at least as seniors, you know, an 18 competition. If that can be organised, even if the salary cap goes up to 150, so teams might be able to recruit a few more. Because the thing that scares me about it the most is that the VFL list is going to be 48, 45, 48. Where are these blokes who aren't getting the game? Where are they going to go back to? They're going to go back play at Oatlands or Scottsdale or something like that. Like, you know, it's going to be a massive gap between one week they're playing AFL players and next week they're going to be playing, you know,
farmers.
Pretty much.
Yeah, from my point of view, I guess, you know, the original Devils back in the VFL days in 2001, Ben Akin, who was a superstar for the Devils and played for the Victorian the Rep games against South Australia, he got dropped at one occasion and played regional football for Claremont against Huonville at Huonville. Totally inappropriate. I was tied up at the Burnie Dockers on the northwest coast at that stage, at the interim stage. We had guys that would travel to Hobart once a month to train with the Devils, but were expected to keep a level of fitness. I think one of the other concerns is, as you said, with the VFL list, obviously with the AFL team, predominantly the AFL list of players will make up those spots, plus there'll be a few top-ups from the coach league with the Devils.
Yeah.
So it's not going to stop the leaking to the non-affiliate clubs in the VFL, the Sandville and the Waffle.
Yeah.
Because blokes are not going to sit around and play once in a blue moon. If they think they're a chance and can't get in because of the AFL list of players, they're going to Werribee or they're going to Coburg or they're going to Port Melbourne or the Bullions.
Yeah.
You raise a very good point, James. And that's what the beauty of this show is. Us Melbourne people, we don't know firsthand what goes on down there. And I think that as we just had Bev on, and, you know, people down there, they know their footy inside out, and getting an insight from someone like you is fantastic. I wanted to move on a little bit to the Relive the Rivalry game, which is probably, to be brutally honest, probably going to get the most promotion of any football game this year. Yeah. You know, we're moving forward, it gets a lot of traction in Melbourne. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how the Relive the Rivalry game started?
There's going to be a couple of big guests arriving for that weekend this year as well, James.
Yeah, I noticed last year there's a the request for VIP tickets. There are a couple of interesting humans.
Yeah, well, no, there's also there's, Brad's shredded 61 kilos over summer, and I reckon he's in playing form. He's happy to play for Tasmania or the All Stars, but he wants Stoney to also play, so he wants to line up on Stoney if that's possible.
Now, listen, you two guys.
Yep.
Do you realise that Mark Stone is an under-19 North Melbourne Premiership player?
We didn't know that. He didn't tell us that, but we know that he played about 275 games for Glen Roy.
Oh, mate, doesn't he love the Glen Roy boys?
Oh, yeah.
Absolute legend, the Mark Stone. Yeah. So, mate, obviously, we started the game back in 2012. I had a mate of mine whose son, unfortunately, suffered from a terrible illness that was very not well known. Their biggest fundraiser was a chocolate driver, a quiz night. I just got out of footy at that time because I wasn't well with health issues, and I used all the connections and started the game. So we're going into game 10. We've had the likes of obviously Dermot Brereton, Tony Modra, and those guys play over the journey, but this year's game 10, and if you don't mind me reeling off, David Rees-Jones is coaching the Victoria All-Stars.
I mean,
the great Brendan Favoa, Darryl White, Leon Davis, Lyndon Dunn, Mickey O'Loughlin, Michael Riscatelli, Paul DiMartino, Richard Champion, Gary Baker, age 70, who won Melbourne's Best and Fairest in 1978. He's playing his 10th game at 70.
Wow.
And some of the latest guys to come on board include Brian Lake, James Patterson, the Test cricketer who's having a run over there with Darbton, correct?
Darbton, yep.
Matty Primus, Port Adelaide captain.
Yeah, and caught up Headland. With the stove, yep.
And the Tasmanian lineup, Andy Lovell's coaching, the former Melbourne West Coast Eagles player.
Yep.
Michael Gale, Simon Atkins, Paul Hudson, Adrian Fletcher, Ian Callanan, Tim Hazel, Peter Street, Jason Leacock, Ben Beams, John McCarthy, Simon Taylor, joined by the likes of Chris Bond, who was a Richmond Carlton and Frio boy, Aaron Joseph, 80-odd games at Carlton, Darren Pritchard, who was probably stiff not to win the 89 Norm Smith Medal from Hawthorn, and recently retired Grant Birchall, Hawthorn Premiership player, and Mitch Robinson.
Wow. Jesus, star-studded, isn't it? That's it's great that all these players are willing to come down to Tassie to play a game. It's amazing. Some of them names are bigger than what the old EJ Witten Legends game used to have at the end. They used to have more celebrities playing in that game than sometimes former greats.
Yeah, listen, it's just been good fun, and whilst the energy's there, we'll keep it going. But we don't overload them. They come down, some come in on a Thursday and a Friday and drink soft drink on the Friday night, and then the carbs, obviously. Saturday morning's around Salamanca, and then obviously they play the game, so we don't overload them with too much, and it's like a family reunion every year.
Yeah, that's, it sounds good. Like, you know, if there's room there, James, I'm happy to put on the lace-up jumper. So is Brad and Stoney, I reckon.
Well, Lashy, I'll say to you, out of your 1,780 jumpers, which one are you going to wear?
I'd have to be one of the Relive the Rivalry ones that you've sold me over the years, mate. And this year you don't have to send them. I'll actually just take them in the carry-on luggage back to Melbourne, mate. So number 24 or number 48, mate. You know, they're the favourite numbers. So
Russell Robinson, number 24.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Andy Goodwin wore it a couple of years ago, or was meant to wear it and pulled out. So
Well, he'll wear it again this year.
Yeah, is Andy there, is he?
Yeah, Andy's coming down again, mate. So it's just, as I say to you, it's just, it's their opportunity to give back to a charity.
Yeah.
It's their opportunity, well, it's the Tassie people's opportunity to say farewell, or we don't get a chance to say goodbye. We get a handful of games with North Melbourne and Hawthorn.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity where, mate, people can go out to the huddle at quarter time and listen to the coaches. They can get photos, autographs. They can even have a beer with them if they wish to.
Yeah.
So it's just a warm experience.
Oh, it'll be a big one this year when Brad and I get down there, mate.
Oh, I can't wait. Cannot wait. James, we really appreciate you joining us. I can't wait to get down this Relive the Rivalry. We heard great things about it. You're doing a great job down there. Well done. And thanks for giving us an insight of, Tasmanian football and also a little bit about the Relive the Rivalry game. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks, we go.
Thanks, guys, and thanks for the opportunity.
No worries,
mate.
James Wiggins there from Relive the Rivalry, yeah. And yeah, knows his footy inside out. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but was he the one who got you the OHS Ships jumper as well last year?
Yes, yes,
else?
Yeah.
I love that jumper. Yeah, that's a unique one.
Glenn Aulke jumper as well, and he teed up a couple of player sponsorships down there.
I want to buy a Tasmanian Relive the Rivalry jumper. I'm fair thinking about that. So
we'll talk to James.
I'll have to have a chat to James. I love the Tassie map. It's an absolute ripper jumper.
Maybe he's got number 60 reserved for you, so you can run around with number 60 on your back.
We're going to go to a break now, though. We're going to be back after the break with Zane Littlejohn, the coach at Box Hill Football Club, also a Tasmanian, played for the Tassie Devils as well. We'll be back after the break with him. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
Set. For Budget's best deals on car and truck rental, budget.com.au is good to go. It's where you'll find the best of Budget in a couple of clicks. Budget.com.au. With Budget, you're good to go.
Budget Rent-A-Car Blackburn is a proud sponsor of 94.1 FM 3WBC.
Oh, we'd be there for it.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC. Big show tonight, Tasmanian special for anyone who's just joined us. We're talking all things Tasmanian football. 500 days until the Tassie Devils VFL team enters the VFL, which is absolutely amazing considering the last time was 2008. But we've got a man who has done everything at Tasmanian level. He's coached at TSL. He's also played in the VFL for Tasmanian Devils, and now he's coaching in the VFL. And he joins us on the line now, the senior coach of the Box Hill Football Club, Zane Littlejohn. Zane, welcome to VFL Rewind. It's a pleasure to have you, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on, guys. And
G'day, Zane. Lausche speaking. Congratulations, first of all, on a fairly good start in your VFL coaching career with Box Hill. Can you see the Tasmanian AFL side? How can you see them starting off? What would your idea be of the ideal start off? Because as we know, the TSL isn't a really strong competition. They're obviously going to have a VFL side coming in. Where are the 18 to 25 year olds going to come from? Because I can see Tasmania having the same problem as Adelaide has. They'll have them for 2 or 3 years and then the kids want to go home.
Yeah, I think the most important thing with any program is you get good people. That's on and off field, obviously, the players and that as well. But if they feel like they're developing and getting better, and naturally winning football games is a big advantage, but if they feel like they're getting better and improving as footballers and people, I think you'll find they'll stay. I think you'll get the odd outlier who might want to go home and what. But like I obviously spent all previous to this year, the last 6 years at Brisbane, and before I got there was players who wanted to leave and go home, and now they're a destination club because they worked really hard to get people in the right seats and get good people in the right roles, and now they've got people wanting to go to their club. They've recruited obviously Lachie Neal from Fremantle, who travelled over his home state in SA to go to Brisbane, and then Jack Gunston, he heads up there. So they've got Joe Danaher, another one, to get out of Victoria, his home state, to go and play football up there. So again, I think it just reiterates, if you get good people in the right seats and then obviously really good leaders around the footy club, I think people will stay, and there shouldn't be any destination problem with any of that. I think people will want to stay and play footy, and I think once they get down to Tassie and see how beautiful the place is, they'll stay anyway.
Now, talking about your move, you were from Tasmania, you moved up to Queensland, now you're back in Victoria. Did you miss the wet, cold weather, did you?
That's funny. I was just talking to a mate on the phone just before, actually, who's in Queensland. He said, oh, how are you going down there, mate? And it's a lot fresher. I know I grew up in Tassie, but I sort of got used to the warm climate of Queensland. So he's saying he's doing shorts and T-shirt at work, and I'm rugged up in a jumper and jacket and track pants.
Now, Zane, we've just had two guests on. You may know of a guy called Bev from The Bev Show, and James Wiggins from Relieve the Rivalry game down there, and they've both mentioned about the TSL league finishing up in a few years when the VFL joins. What would be your ideal model when the VFL team joins? Do you think that the TSL would be needed? Because, as James Wiggins mentioned, some of the boys when back in the day were going and playing all parts of Tassie because there was no TSL back then. What do you reckon is the perfect model?
Yeah, great question. I don't know the perfect model. I worry, and having now coached, obviously, at VFL level here, myself, obviously at Box Hill, I worry about the players who don't play in the VFL and go back and play regional footy in Tassie. No disrespect to the regional competitions, and they're great local community and proud football clubs in those competitions. But I do worry about the standard of football that those players will drop back to, and then we'll be asking them to come up and perform at VFL level against AFL players. So that's a huge step. And we even now, like I have players who go back to the Eastern Footy League, players who go back to the Mornington Peninsula Footy League. I've got guys who go to the Northern Footy League. So it's really spread out, and we find that very challenging. But we're just lucky we've got great resources and great people involved in our program. So I don't know. I think there needs to be a competition, Andrew, whether it's the state league, which I think probably sounds like it may need to be, but I don't have the exact answers to that. But I think, to make the VFL be successful and ultimately the AFL team be successful, I think some form of state league programming needs to be probably put in place in some way.
With the VFL competition, would you be a supporter of the return of the development league? Or the reserves competition?
Yeah. That's a great point, actually. That might be the step. That might be the next step that they need to bring back into the VFL. We've spoken a number of times this year how valuable and how handy it would be to have our players stay under our banner who aren't playing obviously in the VFL seniors for the week. So just ideally, we're developing them or building them and we're trying to work on it. On their game in a particular position, knowing it in a few weeks we're going to need them to have to step up and play at VFL level. So, I'd be a massive supporter of that.
Yeah, Brad and I did a fact-finding mission over to South Australia a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the clubs over there and how they've got their reserves team and even got their under-18s. It just makes it so much easier for you as a coach and the other coaches that you've got everyone under the same umbrella and everyone's playing to the same game plan.
Yeah, and ultimately it makes it easier for the players. And that's our job as coaches and administrators within football, is to make the game easy for players, because if the players have an easier game, ultimately it's better to watch and then more spectators come through the gates, and that's a win-win for everyone. So I think if players can stay, like we've got guys, I coached a young boy, Ryan Marrick, on the weekend.
How good was he?
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah,
he played amazing.
So over the last 3 weeks, or the last 4 weeks, he's had three different coaches on match day, because he's had his young guns game, he's had Gippsland Power, and he's had me. So it's just, if we can sort of streamline the process of these young guys. Now, he's a different case because he's obviously playing NAB League, but if we can streamline it, ultimately makes it easier for the players.
Marek was absolutely fantastic. I reckon he was almost in my best players on the weekend for Box Hill. He really stood up, and great prospect for Box Hill to have him. Wanted to ask a little bit about your career though, Zane. I did not know that you played VFL for Tasmanian Devils. How was it, I guess, back then playing VFL, I guess, for the Devils, and what was the program like back then, I guess, because I'm guessing it was sort of in the back end of when the Devils program was finishing up.
Yeah, so I played in 07, so I think it's their second last year. Not many people would know I played, because I only played two games. And although I thought I played okay in those two. But the program back then was when Krez was coaching, and we sort of were able to be a bit regionalised. So we had regional games where we had a Northwest senior team play. So guys trying out from the Northwest played a game against guys trying out from the North, and then guys trying out from the South. And then we had assistant coaches from those regions coach the teams. It was a really cool little pre-season concept. We had camps down at Queenstown, so I got to play a game on the Queenstown Oval. We had a game in Lonnie and a game in Hobart, which is great exposure to sort of test yourself against the best players trying to make a VFL list. And I was lucky enough to do that, and then we still had a connection with North Melbourne at that stage. We had North Melbourne guys coming down and playing with us. So I still got some good relationships now with a few of those guys, which is great. We didn't have the greatest year, and it's funny enough, it's funny, my first VFL game was actually against Box Hill. So,
wow.
I still tell that story now to a few of the boys that when I debuted in VFL, it was against the great Box Hill. And I still remember lining up on Joel Smith at Bloodstone or Bell Reeve Oval, it was back then. Joel Smith on the wing, who was coming back from injury for Hawthorn, and just looking across and going, Jesus, what am I doing here? But another great, I joined the illustrious club that day, though, with my first kick being a goal, which was pretty cool. So, I still remember a pretty proud moment. I never thought I'd get there, and lucky enough to play at the level, which was great.
Now, a lot of people are aware of the North-South rivalry down in Tasmania. Like, a lot of people in the mainland find it a silly thing, but eventually, with the Tasmanian AFL side, I can see this happening, that they will probably end up playing, say, two or three games a year at Launceston, just like GWS does in Canberra, once the North Melbourne and Hawthorn contracts are up. Could you see that happening down the track with that the Tasmanian AFL side?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they've got to. I think, again, the right people put in place, like when I say people in the right seats, the right leaders, footy manager, CEO, president, I think will automatically say that's a must, that we'll be playing games in, and I say we because of proud Tasmanian, we'll be playing games in Lonnie and Hobart. And potentially, I could see the potential of playing a JLT or a pre-season game or pre-season camp on the northwest coast of Penguin, I think, just to... especially early days, like you see the Jack Jumpers now down there, they're playing games in all those areas as well, the northwest coast, obviously the Silver Dome in Lonnie, and then obviously their home games in Domain in Hobart as well. So it just grows the profile of the team, and I think it's got to be a must. I think it'd be a great, not just because I'm at Hawthorn now, it'd be great to see, Tassie's first game in Lonnie against Hawthorn. I think it'd be a great profile, and there's 8,000 Hawthorn members there, and hopefully they obviously stay with the Hawks maybe, but jump across to Tassie as well, but we get a good crowd there for Hawthorn Tassie. Maybe round two, 2028.
Final one from me, Zane. You got the Box Hill boys up and about this year. Me and Lausche started the year, weren't sure how the boys were going to go. We losing Benny Cavara obviously was a big loss, but how's the coaching journey been this year? Coaching the Box Hill boys, you got some really good VFL listed boys, like Macedi obviously, who has been absolutely phenomenal. Beasley as well. You've got some good VFL list of boys, and you've been probably blessed with a pretty good injury list of Hawthorn, that you've been able to have so many AFL list of players be selected each week.
Yeah, spot on. And this is when I was at Brisbane for obviously 6 years, and then worked in the reserves and equal VFL space. And again, they were always healthy. Sort of, I think they averaged around 18, 19 listed players each week. And I've got a great belief in that. If players are happy, and I've said this to you tonight already, if players are happy and feel like they're getting better and they're improving and they love the environment, I think it helps injury rate. And there's no doubt at the moment the way Sam's running the program, players love being at Hawthorn. So they want to keep playing. They want they don't have the external factors that potentially can cause injury. So we are very lucky in the fact that we've got a healthy list in at the moment. And we've got some good VFL players who are missing out because there's just not the spot for them at the moment. But the VFL boys who are playing are doing a great job, and I thought they were exceptional. Our leaders on the weekend against Southport, last year's grand finalists, and I've really enjoyed the role, and I'm very lucky that I've obviously got Sam as a great mentor who's, one, played at Box Hill himself and was drafted from that program, and two, he's coached the program as well, so he understands what goes with the role and the challenges and that they come with it. So he's great support for me to have with Andy Collins, who's coached over 1,000 VFL games, however many he's done. But I've got great support around me who really helped me in that aspect. And I've got a lot to learn as a young coach. And hopefully we can, no doubt I'll continue to learn through the year. And hopefully we can continue to win a few games and can develop these Hawthorn boys to play some really good AFL footy.
Well, Zane, it's been a pleasure to have you tonight. Yeah, a bit of an insight from the current VFL program at Box Hill, and back in the day at VFL level. Thank you very much for joining us. Good luck for the rest of you with the Hawks. They seem to be up and about. So, good luck for the rest of you, and thank you very much for joining us on VFL Rewind.
Thanks, Zane.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me. Love what you're doing. Great work.
Thanks, Zane. Appreciate it. Zane Littlejohn there, the senior coach of the Box Hill Hawks. Great man. I'm really looking forward seeing how he goes in the back end of the year for the Boxer Hawks.
Before we go to our last interview, we're talking about Ryan Marrick. Ryan Marrick has nominated for the mid-season draft.
Yeah, he should get picked up.
He's also nominated, but under a longer-term contract. So
yep,
he's
good. 18 months.
Yeah, exactly. I hope that becomes standard
for
everybody.
It should be a stock standard. If you're going to get picked up, you should be putting 18 months on your head. I would.
Yep.
We're going to go to a break now, though. We're going to be back after the break with Trent Bartlett, former Tasmanian Devils player and good one at that. So look forward to having a chat to Trent. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC. Oh,
celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
Dragon City Tattoos at 893 Canterbury Road, Box Hill, is a place for your next artwork. Clint and Luke Baxter will design and tattoo your ideas with precision and skill. They are award-winning and passionate about what they do. Traditional, realism, tribal, portrait, religious, Asian, logos, or just the black work. Dragon City Tattoos are experienced in all styles. They also offer body piercing. Open 7 days a week. Drop in and talk about your next tat or give Dragon City Tattoos a call on 9890-2734 or search Dragon City Tattoos on Facebook.
A proud sponsor of 3WBC Football and 94.1 FM 3WBC.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC. We've got a Tasmanian special tonight, but we're still doing our regular 7:45 VFA/VFL Legend segment. And with the Tasmanian theme, we thought we'd get a great of the Tasmanian Football Club on. In the past, we've had Ian Callanan on, we've had Benny Beams as well, and this man is one as well who had a very great contribution to Tasmanian Devils. He played 22 games for Brisbane Bears. He played 17 games for Brisbane Lions, or if you count them both, what's that? 39 for both.
42 for the Doggies.
42 for the Dogs, and he went on and played 67 games for the Tassie Devils. He was one of the stalwarts of the Tasmanian Devils through the glory years when they were up and about and they were getting monster crowds. It was an absolute great time to be a Tasmanian Devils supporter for all the people down there because they were chocking the place out. And he joins us on the line now, Trent Bartlett. Trent, welcome to VFL Rewind, and thank you very much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, Brad. No, my pleasure, mate. You reel off the stats, but I didn't think I played that many games for the Devils, so there you go.
G'day.
A long time ago now, Mum, an old man.
Yeah. G'day, Trent. Lausche speaking. 67 games, 91 goals. But what I like about the best stats are you're in the Tasmanian Hall of Fame, but you also represented Queensland and Victoria. So you've sort of nearly covered the eastern seaboard of the states playing state footy.
Oh, look, I have. My footy career is a little interesting. It's probably one of the earlier modern careers where, look, I left home at 16 and got drafted by the Bears, went to Brisbane and lived up there, played a lot of quaffle footy before I was able to break into the Bears then, and then played a little bit of AFL footy, get injured, go back, play the quaffle footy, come out, play senior footy, get traded, go to the Doggies, played a little bit of AFL footy then with Werribee while I was there, you know, with the Doggies, and come back home and do that sort of stuff, played the VFL games there, and obviously got to represent Queensland against WA, got to represent Victoria against WA, and then played with Tassie also on the state game against Queensland as well. So, I've sort of journeyed up and down the east coast of Australia playing footy. So, very lucky, very, very lucky.
Now, the Tasmanian AFL side, I know a lot of people have got different views, but if you were put in charge of setting it up and how would you go about it? Because my question is to all guests tonight has been, my concern is the 18 to 25 category. If you get them from interstate, I reckon you're going to get a few that are like getting drafted by adult, say the Victorian kids, and they go to Adelaide. They'll stay there for 2 or 3 years and then they'll go, oh, I'm missing mummy's cooking, I want to go home.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. Look, you need to be selective how you recruit. So, and look, I'm all for an AFL team, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's fantastic AFL. Finally given Tassie the tick, 150-plus years of footy, and the contribution that Tasmanians have made to the AFL, it's significant, absolutely significant. And we've got some greats of the actual past, but we've still got some pretty good footballers running around now, and Rewalt and those sort of guys that have been, you know, Matthew Richardson not that long ago, champions of the game, Alistair Lynch, those sort of guys. So, yeah, contributions there. We deserve a side. Now we've got one. Being based in Hobart, in Tasmania, other than in Launceston, where Hawthorn have played the majority of games over the last 20-odd years, is a significant factor in helping that go-home factor. You're always going to have it. There's no doubt about it. You're 100% right. Boys from Victoria go to Adelaide, want to come home. Boys from Adelaide go to Western Australia, they want to come home, vice versa. You're never going to stop that, but just that being selective. And Brisbane did it really well a few years ago where they going, hang on, if we take the boys out of the metropolitan, you know, they are going to come home really, really soon. If you get the boys out of country, Victoria, you get the boys, you know, that know they have to move away from home anyway.
Yeah.
You know, even though you're going into state, the pull home is not as great.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. I know from experience, my first year and a half, all I did was want to come home. Want to come, exactly, the mum's cooking and come home with your mates and all that sort of stuff. But after you've been there, you know, a couple of years and you've settled in and you've made some friends and you're starting to establish yourself as a footballer, and if it's a good footy environment, then your footy club takes over, and I think we'll be able to hold them in Tassie then with good facilities, good coaching, really good structures. Obviously, you need to be winning some games of footy as well, but I don't think it'll be as bad as what it is, the Victoria, you know, Victorians coming home from South Australia or something like that, if they're selective around their recruiting. So, yeah, it's doable, very doable.
Trent, wanted to ask you, what is your favourite memory of playing for the Tassie Devils through that? Yeah, you were there for the period when the team was absolutely pumping. The whole state was behind the whole Tassie Devils program.
Yeah, look, it was. Look, it was an amazing time, actually. 2003, 2004, 2005, like, it was, we were regularly getting bikes to North Hobart Oval. I don't know if you've ever been to North Hobart Oval, but that was this little amphitheatre, and it's, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 people there. Like, it's like having 16,000 or 17,000 a game because everyone's on top of you. Really small ground. They were fantastic memories. At Bill Reeve Oval, we had 2 finals, 10,000+ each time.
Wow.
They were amazing. You know, and we're talking, you know, community footy, VFL footy, great standard footy. But you know, you got crowds are on top of you there. Crowds come onto the ground at quarter time, at half time. Crowds come onto the game, onto the ground after the game, and pat you on the back and stuff like that. They were amazing scenes. So those finals in those years were brilliant. We had some really big crowds at North Hobart Oval too. We had some Anzac Day games, which were big crowds, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 people at North Hobart Oval. And it's just, you know, hanging out of the rafters. You know, you could fit 22,000 at North Hobart Oval. I think in like 79, I think it was Peter Hudson kicked his 150th goal or something for Glenorchy or Norfolk back in those days, and there was 22,000 hanging out of the rafters. Jeez. We had 7 or 8, and it was like there was 20,000 people there. So, you know, They were probably the memories, and the whole of the state got behind. So even when we went to Launceston play games up there, we'd get 6,000 or 7,000 up there as well at York Park, particularly on the night games. It was just a, you know, a real sense, particularly 2-2-3 running into the, or 2-3-2-4 running into the finals, that hang on, something special could happen here, and we got pretty close. So unfortunately, we just couldn't quite get to the grand final to have a crack at the premiership, but we went really, really close a couple of years there. So that was the big memories. The crowds. That's what, you know, you play footy to win premierships, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you remember the crowd, you remember that sort of the big games.
Got about 3 minutes left of the show, Trent, but after the Tasmanian Devils, what did you do football-wise? I know you did a little bit of coaching in 2015, 2016 at Clarence, but in between the Devils and Clarence, obviously also working for AFL Tassie, but did you play any footy regionally down there?
No, look, well, I tried to make a bit of a comeback, as we all do. That didn't last very long or very successful. So, you know, too old, too slow. Wanted to whack a couple of blokes instead of trying to get the footy because I couldn't do what I wanted to do. But I got involved. I coached our women's state teams for a number of years and coached a bit of women's footy, which took some sides away to South Australia, took our first ever women's team away, Queensland, Victoria, stuff like that for carnivals, and also then I got involved with the men's footy with Clarence, and then went back to some women's footy again. In the last few years, I haven't been involved at all. I've got a young family now, so that sort of takes up a fair bit of time with kids and bits and pieces. But yeah, I stayed involved. I don't work at AFL Tassie anymore. I haven't for about 10 or 15 years, so stayed involved for another, you know, 4 or 5 years after that. Then sort of, you know, you move on type of thing. So great memories. Great memories. Coaching probably wasn't for me at the end of the day. I was probably more enjoyed my footy more than the coaching, though I did enjoy the coaching, to say that. So, we had some good times. It's a footy's, you know, it's exciting time at footy at the moment with the, you know, announcement of the AFL team and hopefully a new stadium going ahead, all those sorts of things. Tassie's really, really pumping with the, on the footy vibe, which is great to see.
That's absolutely fantastic to see. Our final one, we've got about a minute left. Trent, do you think that this Tassie team and the stadium, I guess, do you think it's probably gonna happen, or you reckon just all this, the last few days, all this news that negativity is just probably a bit of a smokescreen?
Well, look, my fingers crossed and I'm praying that it happens, but don't discount this. We've stuffed up a lot of things, and I want to say us, I mean Tasmanians, fighting each other and carrying on about having any development, and we could really stuff this up. Like, I have genuine concern that we could politically really stuff this up. I hope it doesn't happen,
yep.
But you know, Tasmania has a history of doing it, and I pray that it doesn't happen. We get some really good leadership and strong direction.
I agree with you. Agree with you, Trent, 100%. Trent, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. Yeah, reminiscing about the old Tassie Jays, and yeah, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Trent.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Trent Bartlett there, a bit of a legend of Tassie Devils Football Club.
Great fella.
End of the show, Lash. We'll see you all again next week.
See you next week.